play.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2020 Arnold Palmer Invitational, 120-man Invitational, as it says in the title, T65 and tie. So lots of guys making the cuts over the weekend. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDintric and my co-host on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. How are you?
Not too bad. Just another Monday coming down with a little cold. So it's lovely. Absolutely lovely. Not the corona. We're good there. It's cold.
Better hope it's just a cold.
Yeah, I'm a big boy. It's going to take a lot more than a freaking corona to get me. So I don't think they have that tranquilizer just yet.
They do say that like the common cold is a version of the coronavirus. Yeah. So
yep.
Technically you have it.
And my wife's in nursing school, and she gets very angry when she sees people, you know, putting stuff on social media that are misinformed. I'm like, you just need to stop looking at social media. That's a whole that's the whole point of social media is to put false information out there. I was like, God damn, woman, you're almost as bad as some of these guys at the DFS Open. It's crazy. But let's recap what took place over the weekend in Florida at the Honda Classic. I tweeted it out. We were tweeting back and forth. But I tweeted it out with like three holes to go. That regardless, we were going to be happy because either Tommy Fleetwood was getting his first or Sungjae was getting his first, and Sungjae got it done. What are your thoughts on big old Sungjae M, 21 years old, getting the W?
Yeah, man. He earned it. Really, you know, he started off really hot, and then that's where you score on this golf course is at the beginning. He took advantage of some holes that were gettable. Made some birdies, kind of had a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a rough stretch in the middle. And then at the end, dude, he hit some just absolute insane golf shots. On 15, he hit a hell of a shot. 16, he hit a hell of a shot. And then 17 as well. He went out there and he earned it. Surprisingly, though, he hit a terrible golf shot in the 18 after the layup. Hit a bad drive, hit a pretty good layup to get himself back in position, chunk that third shot into the bunker. But yeah, dude, I mean, you know, we knew it was coming at some point. So I feel like this is kind of right on schedule for him, as long as he's kind of been on tour and as consistent as he is, makes good sense to me.
Yeah. 4 under on Sunday to win by a stroke was pretty darn impressive. It seemed like it was one of the things we kept saying on the pod last week and in the Slack chat, was just like, relax. A lot of stuff's going to happen. I think he finished 2 over on Thursday, and then he just did his Sungjae thing, kind of slow and steady, got back in it, took care of business. That bunker shot on 18 to save par was outstanding, almost hold the damn thing out. It was beautiful, beautiful thing to see, and it's crazy. I forgot all about it, but listening to like No Laying Up and some other things reading-wise, that Sungjae either has to win a major or an Olympic medal in one of the next two Olympics, or he's going to the freaking military for 2 years, which is
pretty
wild.
It's Olympic medal or nothing.
Oh, I thought he had to win. I thought a major. Mm-hmm. No, just a medal?
No, it's – yeah, with all those guys from South Korea, obviously in your 20s, you have to do 2 years or whatever military service, and you have to win. I believe it's a gold medal. Could be wrong. Could just be any Olympic medal, but in order to get out of that. So
he's got two shots.
Right.
Assuming Tokyo doesn't get canceled.
Right, yeah. That
I'm waiting for that.
Terrible, but yeah. You would think that they would start making a little bit of special exemptions for, you know, certain
million-dollar athletes. People.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the dude's 21 years old, and, you know, it's really fucked up several golf careers if you go back and kind of look. Unfortunately, you know, Sangmun Bae comes to mind, and there's some others, so. You know, we'll see. He's got plenty of time to kind of get there or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And the good thing is we'll get to see him for like the next 4 weeks, because I think I saw his schedule is booked solid, as you'd expect from Sungjae M. No breaks for the Road Warrior as he gets another young under 22-year-old W, which is good to see. But let's talk about what we really want to talk about, Jesse, that even Twitter couldn't hold back the excitement. the grandstands came into play yet again. And my God, like you said it and others said it, if you or I hit that, we're probably like three holes over, looking at probably a shot over some trees or something, and praying to God we'd walk away with a double and be happy. But we'd probably hit it into the water or something, went over the green, like all hell would have broke loose. Yet Mackenzie Hughes gets a beautiful drop. Beautiful drop. Wedges it up, has a chance for a birdie, but saves par. He's one shot back. Thinks he maybe has a chance if Sungjae can't come through. The fact he had a chance is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you police it other than, you know, because it's just, it's so difficult. Obviously, they're not going to not have grandstands around because there's a lot of money involved in those grandstands for the PGA Tour, right? So they're not going away. I've seen a couple different, I've seen a couple different kind of ways to fix it. One is like, you ever watch Harry Potter?
Yes.
Yeah. Then those, when they're playing Quidditch and they've got those stands and they're like big towers and they're just all around, but there's space, there's like a lot of space in between them.
Mm-hmm. that'd be a trip. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you hit it, you know, behind one of those, you have to play it around it or something. The other is to play it kind of as a, I think the other option is to play it as a kind of a lateral hazard. I don't know what's behind those grandstands. I mean, they're in Florida, so I'm assuming it's some kind of swamp. Could be wrong. Could just be parking lot. You know, I don't know, but to me, it's bullshit because, you know, obviously if you go right, you're in the water.
Mm-hmm. You go like left. Tommy did.
Yeah. I mean, Tommy had a terrible shot in there and yeah. I really don't, to be honest with you, I don't know what he was thinking because
Purdy puts you in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to bail left there. Worst case scenario, you aim it left.
Yeah, Mackenzie showed you exactly what to do. Wow. Bail left.
I mean, and he double crossed it and just duck hooked it. But I mean, that's happened several times now this year. So, will the PGA ever address it? Probably not. We'll just continue to bitch about it on Twitter.
Yeah, I know people like Twitter,
that's another reason for social media is a bitch.
Yes, and I know people can't stand it because I've had like the same people come at me. Well, what's the rules? I get it. The rules need to change. Like, I don't care if you get a drop the way you do. It's got to be a stroke or two. Like, you have to get penalized for it. That's my biggest problem is you should not be, like, rewarded or bailed out because you literally – he didn't just hit the stands. He hit it into the stands. I'd love to know what the if it hit a person or not because that was like a laser going in. Oh, and usually, you know, people sitting in those grandstands either A, can't see the ball because they're drunk or just cause it's so far away or aren't even looking. Like, someone probably got nailed. But right. – Yeah, it's not that like the fact they get bailed out without a penalty is the part that bugs me the most. Like, I get it, where you're supposed to put them. Well, we saw at the Open Championship, the British Open, remember when Spieth had to like drop it on the driving range and hit it over the stands and stuff? Hey,
yeah,
let's do it. I'm in. That's how it should be. But I guess we'll never know, and we're just going to continue bitching about it, like you said. So we'll move on from that. Any other takeaways like? Benny on somehow finishing 4-under after that massive 4-over first day. There was a lot of goods and bads. Brooks misses another cut. Ricky misses a cut. He's out of the top 20 in the world now. A lot of interesting little things.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other thing I would mention is just Tommy. Yeah. I mean, I thought going into it, he was in the driver's seat there on Sunday and kind of unfortunate to not watch him be able to close the golf tournament. I was kind of rooting against him because the one lineup I did have with him sucked, and the one lineup I had with Sungjae was 6-6. So financially, you know, it was going to benefit me, but I wouldn't have been mad to see Tommy win that golf tournament. Hopefully it's coming soon. We'll see.
Yep, hopefully it's coming very soon. Well, he's in the field this week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, so let's talk about it. One of the most heralded or prestigious events on tour. A lot of guys love to play it. Tiger is a beast here, but he will not be here this week. Why don't you give us some past event history for the Arnold Palmer Invitational?
Yeah, Tiger's only won this event 8 times.
Yeah, only 8 times. What a scrub.
So I'm surprised he's not coming back. But I heard that he was dealing with some back shit again, which sucks, man.
That would suck. That'd be horrible.
Yeah. Anyways, 2019, which was last year, obviously, Francisco Molinari, he went by shot 12 under, 2 shots over Matthew Fitzpatrick. 2018 edition, Rory McIlroy, 18 under par, 3 shots over Bryson. 17, Mark Leishman, 11 under, 1 shot over Charlie Hoffman and Kevin Kisner. 2016, Jason Day, 17 under, 1 shot over Kevin Chappell. And Matt Every, of all people, won this tournament back-to-back in 2014, 2015. It's like, it's really like an anomaly type of thing, because a lot of the mostly have big names winning this golf tournament, because there's mostly big names here. I mean, Martin Laird has won this golf tournament before.
Rod That's a Pampling. Big name, Marty Party Laird. Come
well,
on.
I mean,
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah,
I'm with you.
In but the DFS like, world, he is.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Every, of all people, just weird to go back-to-back like that, but dude, he did it, and he's in the field this week, but...
Yeah, I probably won't be playing him. Just gonna throw it out there.
No.
You mentioned the Matt Every years. Maybe there's something to it. After, I believe, 2015, was that the last year you said he won, or the 16?
15, yeah.
Yeah, so I believe it was after that 15 year, they renovated a lot of the golf course. They changed the greens to firmer, faster greens. They got rid of some of the rough that was around the water, so they can't like use the rough as backboards. So they made it tougher because Yes, they every-proofed it. They made it so only the best could win. Yeah, who would have ever thought Matt Every would have to every-proof the Bay Hill Country Club? Like, go figure. Bay Hill Club and Lodge, par 72, 7,454 yards in Orlando, Florida. This is the one where I believe it was last year. Everyone was on Jason Day, and then he withdrew, and then the next day he's taking pictures at Disney World with his family. So be ready for that stuff going all over Twitter, because remember, place to bitch. It's a place where Arnie likes to – he wanted the tee to green to resemble the U.S. Open and the greens to resemble the Masters. That's why the greens are fast. They play about 12 and a half to 13 on the stem. They're firm. So if you're not in the fairway, you're going to have a hard time keeping it on the greens. Something to keep in mind there. There's dog legs and some – you can't just bombs away here. A lot of strategic shots off the tee, which leads to longer irons coming in, which is a little off the norm. Like, the fairways are a little wider than they used to be, but the rough is still super thick. It usually ranges – it's usually around 4 inches or so. So it's not just like you can hit it there and get it out easily. And that's why I said you got to be in the fairway to get it to hold onto the greens. Other than that, there's water that comes into play in about half the holes. It's Florida. It's going to be windier than heck, especially Thursday. It gusts up to 30 miles an hour. On Friday, it gusts up to 20 miles an hour. So something to keep in mind there. The par fours are – pars are a very good score there. Like, six or seven of them are very, very tricky. There's four par fives. Three of them, they're over 550 yards. But all the scoring takes – a lot of the scoring takes take place there. If you're not birdieing the par fives, you are in serious trouble. Like the year Rory won, he did well there. Tigers always dominated the par fives. So if you can take pars on the par fours and birdie the par fives, you're going to be sitting real pretty. That's kind of the strategy these guys are going to use. But it's going to resemble the Honda last week, but a little friendlier. Not as you know, chaotic and destructive, but still there's going to be some big numbers at times if guys get in trouble and aren't keeping it in the fairways. So that's the course in a quick glimpse. What kind of stats are you looking at, Jesse?
Similar to last week, driving distance over driving accuracy, greens and regulation are huge here. Just like it is just about every week, plenty of course history, obviously too. The scores get to the mid typically. I think this is going to be kind of weather dependent. So depending on the weather, you know, I might, if it's super windy all week, I might wait, bogey avoidance over birdie or better. But, for now, birdie or better percentage, par five scoring is pretty massive here as well. This is a par 72, correct?
Yes, par 72, 74, yeah. 54.
Yeah, so you got four par five, excuse me, and they're pretty much the easiest holes on the golf course scoring wise. So that's where a lot of the scoring will come from, and it's a big difference between this week and last week. Obviously, two par fives last week. The third hole last week played the easiest basically all week. It was pretty much birdie or you're losing a shot. Anyways, that's pretty much it. And then I'll also pay attention to Fanshare, because the one thing that you might want to mention is that Sungjae Im was number one on their course suitability ranking, which we were like, didn't we discuss that? Like, before?
Yeah, I remember we talked about it a few weeks ago on the pod, and then I remember I wait to like build usually till Tuesday night or even Wednesday night, kind of let all the news come in and all that stuff. And then after I build, I go and look at Fanshare's ownership. Well, while I'm looking at their ownership, like three slots over, is their course suitability ranking. And I texted you and I was like, dude, Sungjae's number one. And like all these guys we like are like five of the top six dudes. Yeah. I'm like, if this model works this week, we're going to be pretty. And we were sitting pretty until the blow up on the weekend happened. But Sungjae was number one. And It's not up there yet. I think it goes up there sometime tomorrow. But
yeah, tomorrow typically, yeah. Usually on Tuesday.
You got to imagine Rory's going to fit this course pretty good. I'm just going to throw it out there. But
I would think.
We'll see. But speaking of Fanshare Sports, promo code ALWAYSPRESS gets you 20% off the package of your choice. Let's talk about a couple things here. Coming in good form in this field, last six events. Oh, Rory McIlroy. He's averaging 110 DraftKings points over his last six events. Bryson at 96. Answer, Reed, Scott, Matsuyama. So the best of the best leading the way in the top five when you go that way. But then we'll go a little deeper. Bermuda Greens. I know I mentioned it last week, but some different guys in the field leading the way again in the last six events. Rory McIlroy, almost 112 DraftKings points on Bermuda Greens. Sungjae Im at 95. Molly at 93, which is interesting considering how bad Molly's been played. But he loves the Florida swing, defending champion here. That's going to be a fun discussion. Scott Piercy and then Benny on, averaging about 92. Xander as well. And then looking at just this event in general since 2015, five of the last 5 years, Rory McIlroy averaging 99 DK points. So there's a trend here. Bryson in three times has averaged over 90. Molly's averaged 90 in the 5 years he's played here. Henrik's played well. Rose has played well. Then last but not least, guys coming in with great course history. There's a lot of it, but also good current form. Rory McIlroy, Mark Leishman, Bryson DeChambeau, and Patrick Reed are some of the guys coming in with the double green that you're looking for on Fanshare. There's tons of other things you can look at there. It's really interesting. Like Jesse said, that course suitability rankings, it was really hot early, kind of a little slow in the middle, but last week was freaking fire. So
yes,
we'll wait and see, because there's something with this course, the Florida swing in general, but the Honda, Bay Hill, like Valspar, a lot of similarities with the golfers there. A lot of Euro golfers play really well here, because if you think back to the Ryder Cup, it's burned into my head now. Bombers, the USA is a bunch of bombers. Horses aren't for bombers. So you got to be able to play, you know, smart off the tee, hit your irons. I know Rory's a bomber, but Rory can hit that stinger all day long. So let's get into the DraftKings scoring, Jesse. Got some fun ones. 10K and above, Rory at 11.8. My God, almost $12,000. Fleetwood, 11,000. Matsuyama, 10.6. Bryson, 10.4. And Xander, 10,000. Rory is the easy play here, but can you afford him? That's the question. Who are you liking, Jesse?
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of, really, for me, affordability. It's just how much am I going to play him? Sixth, first, and fourth in his last three appearances here. Never missed a cut in 5 years. 27th and 11th, if you want to go back to 16 and 15. Has not finished outside the top five since September of 2019. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 straight starts. Most people won't want to pay up for him. I don't feel like could be wrong. But his game is coming around. My big question is whether or not he's going to be able to keep it going all the way to Augusta. But he's playing super well. I think just like every week, you know, you're kind of splitting hairs up top here. I'm going to mention, I don't mind any of these guys, and I really don't have a reason not to play them. They all rate out very well on the model that I have here on draft or on Fantasy Labs. Hideki Matsuyama, I feel like he'll go a little bit overlooked. Not a whole heck of a lot of success around here. 33rd, 49th, 45th. Did finish sixth in 2016 and 25th back in 2015. So not a whole heck of a lot of success, but two straight top sixes, sixth and fifth in his last two starts. I feel like he's kind of trending toward a win as well. And there's some potential, I think, this week to maybe get him at a little bit of less ownership. Bryson is fine, I believe. You know, I'm not going to hop on Xander at this point, but I think he's okay. He's never played here, so, you know, take that for what you want. Fleetwood, obviously, the form is there for him. I think I will have a, you know, if I'm making three lineups, I probably start each one with, you know, one of these top three guys and try to work it from there. That's how I'm looking at it at this point.
Yeah, Rory, it's really hard not to play Rory. Like, I usually don't pay up for guys. I make three lineups. He probably won't be in my cash lineup just because I like to be more balanced, but he'll be in at least one or two of the other two. I'll tell you that much, because he's so darn good right now. He's so locked in. Like you said, T5 or better since September. Hard to pass on Rory. It's like easy stuff there. His odds are 5-1, for Christ's sake. 5-1 in a professional golf tournament.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
That's insane. But The other guy I really like, if you're like, Xander's always interesting in smaller events like this, but never played here. This is a tournament with a lot of course history. I'm really going to try to stick to course history here. So if I miss out on Xander this week, so be it. I do like Bryson quite a bit. 46 here last year, second the year before. Coming in a great form, second, fifth, 52nd, eighth in his last four events. I think Bryson at 10-4 is interesting. You mentioned Hideki probably low. I want to like Bryson also. Those two guys, people just don't like Bryson. That's just, it's just weird. They don't want to pay up for him. So Rory and Bryson be the two guys I'd be looking at if I'm paying up above 10K this week. Now we get to the 9K range. You got Adam Scott coming off a 26th and a first place finish at 97. You got Sanjay off his W at 95. Reed at 94. Fowler on the struggle bus at 93. Brooks at 92. Jay Day at 91. Rosie at 9,000. Lots of big names, but a lot of inconsistent play here, Jesse. Anybody striking your fancy?
Yeah, I mean, you got the last three winners, right? Right in a row there. Scott, M, Reed. Not in that order, but it was Scott, Reed, M in that order. It's kind of interesting to have them, you know, price below somebody like Xander or even Bryson. I mean, obviously last time out, Reed beat Bryson, basically heads up. So, you know, it is what it is, I guess. Sungjae, man, I mean, it's hard not to play him again at 9,500. You know, even though a bit of a price increase, $200 over last week in a obviously a stronger field. You know, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind him a bit for cash. I don't. It'd be hard for me to see him missing the cut. Here, he finished third here last year, and obviously coming off the win, he's not, in my opinion, at least from what I've heard of him, he's not one of those guys who's going out and throwing down, you know, having a good old time. So, you know, I don't worry about him not being ready mentally, especially. Reed, I think, is interesting at 94. 50th, 7th, 52nd in the last three appearances here. The last 2 years, he's played 50th and 7th. So, and then obviously coming off the W there, and you know, people continuously just talk shit about him. Jason Day at 9,100. So, obviously withdrew last year, but hasn't missed a cut here since 2008. I mean, his form coming in is okay. It's nothing phenomenal, but I think he's worth a look at 9,100. To be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of this range at all, and it makes it a lot more difficult to fit one of these guys in, especially if you're playing Rory, because you're gonna pretty much dip straight down if you put Rory in. So not a huge fan of this range, but you know, pretty much M and Day would be the two guys I'd be looking at.
Yeah, we're on a similar page here. Like, I'm not in love with this range, because if you're not paying up, I think Adam Scott's a good GPP play, especially if we find out he's using the broomstick. That would make me really happy. Like you said, made four straight cuts here, third in 2014. Coming off that W a few starts back. He's interesting to me at 9,700. I do like Sanjay, especially in cash. I know third here last year, coming off the W, but I'm with you. He's not one of the party animals. Maybe he went out and had a couple like glasses of wine or something with his boys, but I don't see him going nuts, because part of that military thing is he has to qualify for the Olympics. So he has to keep playing and playing well. And he's flat out told people that's why he's played so much, so he qualifies for the Olympics. He's not going to go like try to ruin that and make it complicated. So I like Sanjay as a good cash game play with some GPP upside. Then I really like Jason Day. If you're not paying up and you want to get different, you know, the withdrawal last year is because of the back. He loves playing here. Former champion, as you said. He missed a cut his last time out, but then a fourth place finish, a 16th prior to that. I think there's a lot to like with J-Day at 9,100. Probably coming in a little low-owned in this range. And I don't mind going to him at all. We go to the 8K range now. You got Tony Finau at 89, Stenson 88. Binion at 87, Leishman at 86, Fitz 85, Morikawa 84, Bubba 83, Westwood 82, Hatton 81, Billy Ho and Victor Hovland both 8,000. Now, this is a group I can get behind, because as I took my notes, I realized I wrote down about three quarters of them. So yeah. I am a big fan of this range. Who stands out to you?
Yeah, me and you both. We're probably going to have a lot of similarities here. Let's start with Binion. I'm not a huge fan of – he's very volatile, but he played so well after the first day last week, and actually has some pretty good course history here, 10th, 14th, and 49th in his last three appearances. So, and then coming off the fourth-place finish before there was 29th, 9th, I don't see him missing the cut here, knock on wood. I think to pivot off of him, if you're looking around, because Stenson's going to be popular just based on his course history. Finau usually carries some weight. Mark Leishman would be the guy that I would be kind of leaning towards here. He's a past winner, 2017 champion, finished seventh in 2018, finished 23rd here last year. He's had a win this year already, then two straight, basically 40 place finishes. Not great, but you know, he's a guy who can play well in the wind. We know that for a fact. So Leishman would kind of be my pivot off of the chalkier guys above him. Morikawa at 8,400, I think, is fine. He made the cut here in his only appearance in 2018. And then Hatton at 81, you know, had a pretty good showing coming off the wrist injury there in Mexico. And he's 3 of 3 made cuts here. Best finish was in 2017, where he finished fourth. And then last but not least, Billy Ho. Expect a little bit more out of him last week, but he's a Florida guy, so he can play in the wind, and he's, as far as I can tell, never missed a cut, at least since 2013. Yep. You haven't missed a cut for him at all?
Nope, but I've got those 7 straight from 13. My stuff only goes back to 8, so yeah, 7 for 7.
He kind of, last week, you know, I know you played him because obviously he was on your junkies team, and we were kind of battling toward the top there for a little bit, and you know, he started off slow, had a good second round, third round was pretty good, it was decent anyways, and then I don't know what the fuck happened to him Sunday, but I know that didn't help you any.
No, Sunday it finished in 42nd. I think he came in, or he was even or so going into Sunday. I think he went like 4 over or something like that. It was not pleasant at all, not good at all, but I don't mind going back to him this week at 8,000. It's like you said, 7 straight made cuts. Even at the 42nd next week, a ninth and a ninth as the previous two starts on tour. So I don't mind going back to Billy Ho at all. I like Terrell Hatton at 81, 3 for 3 made cuts, a fourth back in 2017. Looked real good off that wrist injury, like you're saying. So I got no problem going his way. Westwood, you know, he missed a cut in 14, made the cut in 13, made the cut in 8, but coming off a fourth in 22nd. He's just one of those guys on courses like this, if it gets windy or whatnot. We saw it last week, and he kind of, I think he finished even par on Sunday at 3. He finished 3 under for the tournament. He's just one of those guys that'll poke and prod around, and he's not going to have too many blow-up holes. So I think Westwood might be a good cash game play. Maybe not so much GPP, because last week was low scoring. This one I still think gets to 10 or 11 under unless the wind gets out of control. So Westy might not get you the GPP win you need, but I think making the cut-wise, I like Westwood at $8,200. I echo the Binion and Leishman comments. Binion, I like a lot this week for cash, and Leishman, I like it for cash and GPPs, and he's a very good GPP pivot off of On and Finau. I think Finau's got some merit to him. Took a few weeks off, but I'd rather go Binion and Leishman probably for lower ownership than Finau, and then Stenson's going to be chalky. I no Stenson for me this week. I will be off of Stenson. I may regret it because he's been so damn good here, but that's some chalk I don't want a piece of. And then the other guy that you did not mention that I like, I'm in on right now, is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Second here last year, missed cut 13th, 27th the last 4 years. He's made 4 straight cuts at least on tour, 5 straight cuts, including a second back on the HSBC Championship. Finished 37th at the in Mexico, I believe. So he's playing really, really well. I don't mind Fitzpatrick at all at 85. Another guy with Leishman. You can get some probably low ownership on Leishman and Fitzpatrick. So two guys I'd be taking a look at in that 8K range. But I love this range. We'll narrow it down when we recap this thing. But you can make a healthy cash lineup out of here. Or if you take, say, Rory up top, you can get a nice piece with like a Leishman or something here and really have a good bit of a start to a lineup there if you choose to go that way. All right, 7K range, Jesse, 7,500 and above. Who stands out to you?
You start.
Oh, you're going to let me take my boy. Thank you. I'm going to go straight to it. I was going to go in order of money, but I will have 100% Ian Poulter this week. I'm just going to say, like, I'm not taking the Stenson chalk, but I am going all in on Poults. It is happening. I loved him last week, finished 27th. And he was up there for a while, and he didn't Billy Ho trunk slam, but he kind of fell apart. He's made 9 straight cuts here, all the way back to 2011, missed cut in 9, made cut in 08. Like, he's been damn good, 23rd or better in 5 of those events, at $7,600, I will have Ian Poulter. I don't mind some RCB, finished 3rd here last year in his first event, come off a 16th and a 17th finish in his previous two starts. The Kiz at 78, meant to finish 2nd in 2017, missed cut in 18, 23rd last year. Kisner can play really well in courses where bombers don't have the advantage. So keep that in mind with Kis. He's a Southern boy, loves Bermuda. He can be an interesting play at 78. I think Abe Anser, my boy, is in play at 78 as well. Missed cut here last year, but come off of 12th in Mexico, 43rd and 6th prior to that. Could be a nice bounce back for him. So I like this range for that respect. And then one last one, if you just want to get weird in a GPP, pretty sure I won't have any of him. But he's made 4 straight cuts here, cleaned a 17th last year, finished 4th last week, and that's Brendan Steele. Again, a guy that can just 3-wood around and make – he's kind of a wannabe Henrik Stenson. I'm going to hit my 3-wood and pray. He's a good GPP play, but I probably won't go to him. For me, it's like Poulter, RCB, Kiz, Anser. I like that range quite a bit. Who's your 7,500 and above?
I'll start up top with Max Homa at 7,900. You know, dude's just playing really well. 5th, 14th, 6th in his last 3 starts. 9th back 4 starts. He's never played here, but I think he's totally fine at 79. Answer, yeah, I'm good with him too. He did miss the cut here last year, like you said, but he's playing really good golf right now. 12th, 43rd, 6th, 2nd in his last 4 starts on tour. Poulter, yeah, I'm in on that too. I can't remember if you mentioned JT Poston or not, but 66th here last year. He was actually – so you had him as well as I did on our Junkies teams. And he was 4-under going into Saturday and then shot 73, 74 to fall back, which was super tilting. But, I mean, that's basically 4 straight top 40s for him. And he seems to be trending in the right direction if he could just put 4 rounds together. So JT Poston would be another guy that I would definitely look at there. I don't mind Steele. I mean, you know, with Steele, like, he is so, like, up and down, you know. I mean, he finished 2nd in Sony and then 43rd American Express, miscut, 4th. So, yeah, I mean, GPP, he's a GPP play for sure. I did not see that shit coming last week.
No, and that's the thing with him. He's GPP only because he's got that random show-up spot, but I can't do it. And Poston's a good call. I totally – forgot to talk about him, but yeah, I don't mind Poston at all. We've been on him for quite a while, so keep running that train. 74 to 7,000. I'll jump back on English. He's made 2 straight cuts here. Finished 17th last week. You know, could have been so much better, but kind of folded as you'd expect. But he made it through the week and did the job. 7,400. I can go back there, but my boy, you mentioned him again last week. Matt McNeely hasn't played here in 3 years. Got a 46 in 2016. He's made 11 straight cuts on tour. Mav at 74 is definitely in play. If you're a course history narrative guy, Ryan Moore, who plays well on, you know, with his irons, his approach game. So Ryan Moore, 5 straight cuts here. He's made 8 of his last 9, including a 5th in 2018. He could be an interesting play because his current form, a 30th, a missed cut, and a 6th. So Ryan Moore at 74 can be something to keep an eye on. CH just stands for course history this week. I'm just going to throw it out there. Hasn't missed a cut since – he's made every cut since 2009 with his worst – he had a 56, a 46th, and a 45th. Everything else was like 35th or better. He's been just ridiculously consistent here. So CH3 will be popular, but 72 is really hard to pass up. A couple others. Molly at 72 if you want to get weird in a GPP because his current form is just dog shit. But defending champion, 26th, 7th, 9th, 17th, 5th, 34th. Never missed a cut here, and he has 4 finishes 9th or better. That at 17th or better in 5 of those events, that's pretty damn good for $7,200 if you want to get weird. And then just a few just quickies. Or Carlos Ortiz, I don't mind if you want a cheapie at 71. The Gooch at 7,000 is another cheapie if you don't want to drop into 6K. Brian Harmon at 7K also if you want to avoid the 6K range. And then I'll see if you mention him. If not, I'll ask a question on another guy. But you like 7,400 and below.
Yeah, start with Matt McNeely. I was pretty pissed off. I didn't play him, especially as good as I saw him play on the weekend. You know, solid 11th place finish last week. So I will not miss out on that this week. Scott Piercy at 7,300. Course history, not great. 54th and then 4 straight missed cuts before that. But hasn't missed a cut on tour since October of last year. 2 straight top 20s. Throwing Phoenix Open there, he finished 6th. Seems to be hitting it pretty well. Lucas Glover at 7,300. The course history is there, 10th, 49th, 7th, 27th in his last 4 appearances here. Last week he missed the cut, and he did have good course history there. So just kind of keep that in mind. But He's a GPP play. Another GPP play would be Alex Noren. I feel like this is kind of a little bit of a low price on him. 36th and 49th in his last two starts here. He didn't play here last year, but that was 18 and 17. Come off a missed cut in Puerto Rico where he was mega chalk, and he had just made a shit ton of cuts in a row before that. So I think Noren's fine. Kevin Streelman, I looked at him hard last week and just could not pull the trigger on it. He's actually played okay at Bay Hill, 58th, 41st, 70th, missed cut, 67th, 21st, 47th, going back to 2011. So one missed cut there basically in seven starts. And then coming off a 47th place finish. He did finish second at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro National, but or National Pro-Am. So, you know, another GPP play there. And then last but not least for me, Taylor Gooch at 7,000, 26th here last year. Played decently well last week. He had a terrible Saturday and kind of fell back there, but finished 38th, 10th before that. Hasn't missed a cut since all the way back in September. So,
yeah, there's a lot of good guys on here, which makes paying for Rory McIlroy very doable. Again, it's just one of those. I think we might be surprised by his ownership when after we go through this pricing like this. You can make a lot of 7K plays to go with him, which is kind of not cool. But let's go into the 6K range where I thought I'd like more guys than I would, and I always like too many guys probably, but I'm not as in love with as many as I like. Who do you like in the 6K range?
Start with Sebastian Munoz at 6,900. He's never played here, but coming off a 14th place finish in Mexico, 26th before that at Genesis. And then Matthew Neesmith at 6,800. You know, we've talked about him a lot in the last couple weeks. He's never played here either, but I follow a lot of his round on Shot Tracker as best I could, which fuck, that app is so trash.
It was so much better when they didn't try to be fancy.
Dude, it's just like literally, I think I have carpal tunnel with my thumb from
having to hit the shit so watch much. Stats every time or whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is I just want to see where the dude's ball is.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
That's all I care about is where is my dude's ball at right now. And you add an extra step into that, and I literally sit on Shot Tracker on my phone Saturday and Sunday mornings for hours.
You and me, I do it Thursday through Sunday. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, Thursday and Friday, I have it pulled up on the computer, so I'm sitting in front of a computer for most of the day. But like Saturday and Sunday, it's a lot of like actually having to click around on my phone, and it sucks. So, anyways, I watched a lot of his round, and I think he hit it pretty decently. The problem was just the putting wasn't there. So I don't mind a bit to go back to him, especially at 6,800. Same thing, similar type of thing with Harry Higgs. He didn't hit it as well, but the putter was also just complete dog shit. I like a lot of guys in this range, so bear with me. Zach Johnson at 6,600. So I don't know how well you were paying attention on, I believe it was Friday, he was off the lead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then hit it in the water. Tried to hit it out of the water, plugged it even worse, took like a triple, doubled the next hole, fell back. He actually made the cut, but he's not missed a cut here at least since before 2013. And just looking at some course history stats, he actually hits it pretty well around here. I'm not usually a fan of ZJ, but at 6,600, I think he is most definitely worth a look. I mean, you know, that's a pretty low price for him, and I get the dog bump too on that. So. Brian Stewart at 6,500, another guy who was, you know, pretty close to the lead. He had some weird ass stats, man. Like he was hitting it really well off the tee and just could not hit greens. Very strange, but I would suspect that he would clean that up. Mark Hubbard, he missed the cut in his only appearance here in 2016, but had a really good showing last week too. He was, decently up the leaderboard. Sam Ryder, 6,400, finished 33rd here last year, made the cut last week. Kevin Chappell, 6,200, 7th here in 2018. I think he didn't play here last year because he was hurt. 49th, 2nd in the last 3 years. So that's, you know, pretty good. Obviously, coming off missed cut, 25th in Pebble Beach, 3 missed cuts before that. I mean, he's super hit or miss, but he's $6,200. I mean, he's down here with some dudes. I cannot even pronounce their names, and I have no clue who they are. So I think he's worth a, you know, if you're playing 150 lineups, you put him on 5 or 6 or something and just hope he, you know, catches fire type of deal. But so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with this range. I actually like a shit ton of guys.
I'm actually loving this because usually I'm the guy that has like 40 guys in the 6K range, and for once it's you, and it makes me so happy because I like digging deep in here, and there are some really good ones like you mentioned. I just didn't find as many, but as you started talking, I'm like, okay, I could see that. Like Sun Kang, he's a tilting guy, but a sixth there last year, 58th the year before, coming off a 71st and a second place finish, a cut 52nd, 16th. He could be interesting at 68. I love Neesmith just to make the cut at 68. You talked about him a ton. Sabatini's interesting. Hasn't played here since 2016, where he finished 60th, the miscut withdrawal, miscut 30th. But coming to him back-to-back made cuts, if you want to go to Roars at 67, I don't hate it. I like Sam Burns, 2-for-2 made cuts here. The 64th last week, he kind of fell apart. He was playing really well. 23rd a few weeks before that. He's 6,600. Patrick Rogers at 66, finished 46th, 7th, missed cut 20th here, coming off three straight made 5 of 6, 21st, 35th, 30th, cut 16th, 9th. So Patrick Rogers playing some good golf at 66. I like the Sam Ryder call at 64 as well. So those are some of the guys that really stand out to me. There's a lot of interesting arguments you can make for different guys here. Like I wouldn't, you know, Bo Hostler's made two cuts here in a row, and he's made five straight cuts on tour. I'm not a huge Bo guy, but I get it. I get the Zach Johnson love. He's made so many cuts here. But I'm going to try to stick to my boys, Ryder, Rogers, Burns, Neesmith, maybe some Kang. I forgot to ask you in the 7K range. I jumped the gun here. But I'm just curious. He's never played here before. But a 29th, a 21st, a 2nd, and a 59th in his last four events. Christian Bezenduwenhout. I don't know exactly how to say it. But any interest in a guy like that? Because he seemed like a really good ball striker from what I could check out on him. I couldn't find a ton because I'm horrible with Euro Tour stuff, but interesting $7,100 play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. He's been playing the vast majority of his golf on the European Tour, some of the Southern Tour. I don't know what the fuck that tour is, but yeah, I mean, four straight made cuts, finished second and at the Dubai Desert Classic, 59th at Abu Dhabi. Those are decently good fields there. Saudi, he finished 21st, didn't get cut up. 29th in Mexico. So, I mean, not terrible. I mean, I don't think I'll play him at all, but I can, you know, he's going to be a 0.1% owned guy. So
that's why I wanted to bring him up, just because he's making cuts, good ball striker. Euros, like I said, playing really well at this event. Could be an interesting GPP play if you get chalky somewhere else. Just want to throw his name out there, something to think about. Just want to be on the list there in case on Sunday he somehow shows up, you know, in the top 10 or something, and we nail something. But I think he's interesting, to say the least. Let's recap real quick here. 10K and above, who's your number one?
That's Rory. It's not even close.
Yep. But he's far. And like, if Rory misses the cut, I don't really care. I really don't care. Like, he's so far and away better than everybody else. Like I said it earlier, 5-to-1 odds you don't see on the PGA Tour. Like, I don't think you see 5-to-1 odds in the Hero World Challenge with 18 golfers. Like, it's ridiculous. So something to think about there. 9K range, who's your number one?
I'd be Sungjae, but again, I'm not a huge fan of this range, and I don't know if I'll have anybody in it.
Yeah, I think I'll go Jay Day. I like him a lot, but I think I'll go Jay Day at 91. 8K range, we're big fans of this. So let's go two guys in the 8K range.
I'll go Hatton and Leishman, just to be a little bit different.
I'll go Benny on and Matthew Fitzpatrick. 7,500 and above, give me two guys.
Homa and Poulter.
Yeah, Poulter and Answer for me. But I think Kisner is going to be a good GPP pivot because he'll go low-owned in this range. And I think he's got a good – he's good for making the cut and then maybe doing some more damage. 7,000 to 74, go for two.
McNealy and Piercy.
McNealy and CH3 for me. But there's a lot of guys to like there. And then give me two in the 6K range.
Man, I'm gonna say Munoz and Neesmith.
I'll go Neesmith and Patrick Rogers. Those would be my two. So fun there. If you're starting a GPP lineup, three guys to start it with.
Rory would be my number one, obviously. And then, you know, I'd probably dip down and get somebody in the, like, 6K range. So somebody like Higgs, and then come back up to Homa.
I'm looking at Rory, Hatton, and Ortiz. Starting with those three. Cash game. Three guys you're starting cash games lineups with.
I think we'll probably – well, I mean, whoever you would you would suggest is who I go with, but I know you're on Poulter, so I'm going to pick him. I think Answer is decently cash worthy there. And then, you know, I mean, it depends on obviously kind of how risky you want to get, but I think you can put Hideki in a cash lineup. I don't see him missing the cut.
My three to start with for now is Ann, Poulter, and CH3. Those are my three to start with. But there's a lot I like. Just like last week I said, in a cash lineup, you could leave like $1,000 on the line because there's a lot of good guys. And I will say this much. My best lines every week is the cash one. It's just how it's turned out for me every week. So listen to Jesse for GPPs. Listen to me for cash. We'll be good. Who do you got winning this thing? Because this is usually, like you said, the last few years, the big boys rise to the top, but you know Rory at 5-1 aren't really the best odds. I think that's the guy. But who are you looking at here?
Yeah, it sucks. You really, I mean, unless you like parlay that with something, it makes it difficult. But I could see somebody like Hatton potentially at some decent odds.
Yeah, I think for Hatton's, I had him at 45. I'm looking at. I'm real tempted to go with A. Mansour at 60-1.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Mind that. I wouldn't mind that a bit. Like, what's Tommy's odds? If
Tommy is 14-1.
Yeah,
this is a great week. I know I say it a lot, but I think I've had better odds of picking top 20 guys. I think going some top 20 finishers, you could have some fun with like an Ian Poulter or a JT Poston, because Poston's 100-1 to win it all. Like you probably get him top 20, like 25 or 30. That could be fun. Like a Ryan Moore, who's had good top 20 abilities, like stuff like that could be interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Final thoughts for the API. Any words of wisdom, Jesse?
No, other than, you know, keep an eye on the weather. There's potentially for a better draw as far as that goes. I wouldn't lock anything in until go ahead and reserve stuff, but then don't actually make lineups until Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild week getting ready, checking ownership. There's some really interesting ways to build here in that 7 and 8K range. 9K might get overlooked, so I think a lot of people will like a lot of the Rorys and you know, Hidekis and Brysons of the world, like we talked about, Fleetwood. Differentiating in the 6K range can be fun because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of guys that are in position to target down there. So join us in the Slack chat. Just ask for an invite. It keeps growing. Lots of good stuff. Green screens are coming in often on the weekends, which is good to see. And we'll be talking weather in there for sure, because I'm pretty sure DireWorks probably contacted three different weather channels by now and is looking for different ways to stack the flights. So he'll have you covered, I'm guessing. If not, someone else will. But check us all out there. But check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm Matt B. DM, checking the podcast at Always Press DFS. Give a rating and review on iTunes. But until next time, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2020 Arnold Palmer Invitational. Catch you guys next time. The show goes on, mate.